she realized the tape wasn't particularly tight or secure. It was a hasty job, temporary. Esterhazy had even indicated as much. Just a temporary stop while preparations for your final destination are completed. Your final destination. She began to flex her arms and wrists, stretching and pulling at the tape. Slowly but steadily it began to loosen. She could hear Esterhazy moving around downstairs. At any moment he might come back up to retrieve her. With a final burst of effort, she managed to rip the tape free. Next, she pulled away the blindfold and gag and freed her ankles. She stood up and, as quietly as she could, went over to the door, tried to open it. Locked, of course, and very stout. She went to the lone window in the room, which looked out onto a desolate garden. The window was locked and barred. She glanced out through the grimy glass. It was a typical Upper East Side backyard, the common rear gardens of the surrounding brownstones, separated from one another by tall brick walls. The yard of her own prison house was overgrown and empty, but in the next garden over, she could see a red-haired woman in a yellow sweater reading a book. Constance tried waving, then knocked quietly on the window, but the woman was absorbed in her book. She made a quick search of the room, pulling open drawers in the empty desk and cupboards, and found a carpenter's pencil in the back of one drawer. An old book lay on the top shelf. She grabbed it, ripped out the flyleaf, and hurriedly scribbled a note on it. Then she folded it up and wrote a second note on the outside. "Please take this note immediately to Dr. Felder, care of Mount Mercy Hospital, Little Governor's Island. Please, it's a matter of life or death." After a moment she added, "Felder will give you a monetary reward." She went to the window. The woman was still reading. She rapped on the glass, but the woman didn't notice. Finally, feeling a rising desperation, she took up the book and rammed it into the window, edge first. The glass shattered, and the woman, in the next garden, glanced up. Immediately, Constance could hear Esterhazy bounding up the stairs. She placed the note inside the book to help weigh it down, and then tossed it toward the next garden. "Take the note," she called down, "and go, please." The woman stared at her as the book landed near her feet, and the last thing Constance saw was her bending down. She walked with a cane and taking up the book. Constance turned from the window just as Esterhazy burst in with a curse of surprise and rushed toward her. She raised a hand to claw at his eyes. He tried to bat it away, but she managed to scratch two deep stripes down one cheek. He gasped in pain, but quickly recovered and tackled her. He fell atop her and they struggled, Esterhazy finally pinning her arms and pressing another chloroformed cloth over her mouth and nose. She felt consciousness slide away and blackness claim her once again. Chapter 56. Camden, Maine. The site of the former nursing home had been razed and condos erected in its place, a forlorn row of empty townhouses with flapping banners advertising price reductions and incentives. Strolling into the little sales office, Pendergast found it empty and rang a bell on the counter. A haggard-looking young woman appeared from a back room, seemingly almost startled to see him. She greeted him with a professional smile. Pendergast sloughed off the bulky jacket and smoothed down his black suit, restoring it to linear perfection.
"Good morning," he said.
"May I help you?"
"Yes, you may. I've been looking at real estate in this area."
This seemed like a new idea to the sales lady. Her eyebrows rose. "Are you interested in our condominiums?"
"Yes."
Pendergast dumped the loathsome coat on a chair and settled himself down.
"I'm from the South, but looking for a cooler clime for my early retirement. The heat, you know."
"I don't know how they stand it down there," said the woman.
"Indeed, indeed. Now, tell me what you have available." The woman bustled through a folder and brought out some brochures, fanning them out on the table and launching into an earnest sales pitch. "We've got 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units, all with marble baths and top-of-the-line appliances, Sub-Zero refrigerators, Bosch dishwashers, Wolf stoves." As she droned on, Pendergast encouraged her with nods and approving murmurs. When she was done, he allowed her a brilliant smile. "Lovely. Only 200,000 for the 2-bedroom, with a view of the sea?" This elicited more talk, and Pendergast again waited for her to reach the end. Then he settled back in the chair and clasped his hands. "It somehow seems right for me to live here," he said. "After all, my mother was a resident some years ago." At this, the woman seemed confused. "How nice, but, well, we've only just opened." "Of course, I mean in the nursing home that was here before, the Bay Manor." "Oh, that," she said. "Yes, the Bay Manor."
"Do you recall it?"
"Sure, I grew up here. It closed down when, well, that would have been about 7, 8 years ago." "There was a very nice aide who used to take care of my mother." Pendergast pursed his lips. "Did you know any of the people who worked there?" "Sorry, no."
"Pity. She was such a lovely person. I was hoping to look her up while I was in town."
He gave the woman a rather penetrating stare. "If I could see her name, I'm sure I'd recognize it. Can you help me?" She practically jumped at the chance. "I can certainly try. Let me make a call or two."
"How kind of you. Meanwhile, I'll peruse these brochures."
He flipped open a brochure, reading assiduously and nodding with approval as she began working the phone. Pendergast noted calls to her mother, an old teacher, and finally to a boyfriend's mother. "Well," the sales lady said, hanging up the phone with finality, "I did get some information. The Bay Manor was torn down years ago, but I got the name of 3 people who worked there." She placed a piece of paper in front of him with a smile of triumph.
"Are any of them still around?"
"The first one, Maybell Payson. She's still living in the area. The other 2 have passed away."
"Maybell Payson. Why, I believe that is the very person who was so kind to my mother."
Pendergast beamed at her, taking up the paper. "And now, if you like, I'd be happy to show you the model units."
"Delighted. When I return with my wife, we shall be glad to get a tour. You've been most kind."
He scooped up the brochures, slipped them.